Wonder if you have your Bible with you tonight. Would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Read the story, the hymn that we have been singing about a man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, Nicodemus. It's an old, old story, and we've heard it maybe many, many times. But I often think of how the Scripture reminds us, as the Apostle wrote to the Hebrews, and he said, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." So it's an old story that we have known maybe since childhood, but we want to look at it again tonight and to think about some great truths that are found in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Amen. We end our reading there. May God bless to us the public reading of His precious Word. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer and ask God's help upon the ministry of His Word. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee again tonight for Thy presence already with us. We thank Thee, Lord, for the hymns of Zion that we have been singing together. We thank Thee, Lord, for Your Word and song. And Lord, we thank Thee most of all for Thine own inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for these verses of Holy Scripture. And our Father, we just pray now as we would think upon them that, Lord, Thou wouldst draw very strangely near. O God, move from seat to seat, from heart to heart. Convince men and women of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And grant that should there be any in our gathering outside of Christ, we pray that tonight they may come, that they too may be born again. They may be born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. They might be justified freely and find God fully through Calvary's love and being able to say, "Oh, what a standing is my Lord." Do Thy work, we pray. Help this preacher to present the gospel and bring sinners to the Savior. For we ask all these things in the Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Again, as we think about this man, Nicodemus, the man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, the man who was inquiring, as the hymn writer says, the way of salvation and light. And it is a good thing to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, He loves men and women as individuals. John 3 and 16 reminds us here that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the Apostle Paul could say, "The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And thank God tonight, God loves men and women, and He sees you as an individual. as the Bible says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And here's a man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was seeking reality. He had religion, but he needed reality. He needed his sins to be dealt with. He needed to know that he had eternal life. He needed to make sure where his immortal soul would be in God's great eternity. Now there are many, many needs in this world today. And we long for stability. People say if we could get better education, if we could have more financial well-being, if we could have better housing, if we could have this or that or the other thing, then all would be well. And people would be happy. And people would be contented. But you know, only the gospel of Christ can satisfy the need of the human heart. Because when you read about this man, Nicodemus, we read about a man who was one of the richest men in the city of Jerusalem. We read about a man who was one of the most religious men in the city. We read about a man who was respectable, a man of reputation, and yet he is lost and undone and on his way to a lost, Christless eternity. Maybe tonight, even in our service, there may be one, and you have many of the things that this world can offer. Maybe you say, Fred, I have none of the things that this world can offer. But whether we're rich or poor, educated or illiterate, Protestant or Roman Catholic, Jew or Gentile, whatever, men and women need to be born again of the Spirit of God. They need to have their sins dealt with through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we come to think about this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice very, very simply that there are two great personalities recorded in this passage of Scripture. We have mentioned Nicodemus, and for all intents and purposes, we can say Nicodemus was a good man. But we not only have a good man in this passage of Scripture, we have the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night, he said in verse 2, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. We know thou art a teacher come from God. And I said it oftentimes, said it one night up at the mission in Nakalee. Nicodemus had got things a little bit mixed up. The Lord Jesus was not just a teacher come from God, but he was God come to teach. And when we think about that in this passage of Scripture, we are like Nicodemus, and we would stand back and wonder at his person. He called himself, that beautiful title in the Gospel of Luke, the Son of Man. And he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And my Nicodemus heard about Jesus. He came to inquire of Jesus. He came seeking an audience, an interview with the Lord Jesus. And he came under the cover of night. But perhaps it was not only that there was a question mark in his mind about who this person really is, but he had heard about the wonder of this person. He had heard about the words of this person and his preaching. The Bible says that when the Lord Jesus Christ preached, he taught as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And Nicodemus says, Lord, we know thou art a teacher. We have heard about your words, your wonderful words, the message that you preach And of course, this gospel that we preach, the Bible says, began to be spoken of at the first by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting when you read in the New Testament and the Gospels that when Jesus Christ preached, He preached about repentance, that men and women ought to repent of their sin, turn from their sin, and put their faith and trust in Him. Nicodemus says, no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And may we think not only of the wonder of his person and the words of his preaching, but the works of his power. No man can do the miracles that thou doest. What stories had Nicodemus heard? Did he hear about one who could turn water into wine? One who could open the eyes of the blind? One who could unstop the ears of the deaf? One who could say to the lame man to walk and he could leap and walk. One who could raise the dead to life. But Nicodemus confessed, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Later on in this passage, as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he was to tell him something else. He was to tell him about the wealth of a great provision that would be made. For he would say there when he taught him about Moses in the wilderness in verse 14, and he lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he talked to him about that redemption that would be accomplished at the place called Calvary. And so we see here Nicodemus, a man who was a good man, a ruler of the people, a ruler of the Jews, a master in Israel, a man who is well respected, and yet a man who is lost. You know, the word ruler there means a prince or a great man. He was a religious man. He was very strict. He was strict about tithing. All that he owned, all that he earned. He was strict about keeping the Sabbath day. He would have confessed, even as Saul of Tarsus confessed, that he was circumcised the eighth day. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was taking part in ceremony and ritual, and fasting and praying and keeping holy days, and keeping the traditions of the elders. But he was lost. You see, beloved, there are men and women in this little province of ours, and they have the Word of God, and they have an affiliation with a church or a denomination. They have had the ceremonies and the rituals of pastor, minister, or priest. They have the desire in their heart, because as the old gospel hymn says, everybody wants to go to heaven. But the tragedy is, they don't want to go by the way of the cross of Calvary. They want to go by their good works. Want to go by their good deeds. Want to go by their good citizenship, by their good neighborliness. They want to go by all these things. They want to have a merit, and they want to be able to think that I really deserve to get to God's heaven. But the Bible says it is by grace that we are saved and through faith. Let us not of works, lest any man should boast. So we think about two great personalities in this passage. But then I want you to notice there are two great precepts that are spoken of in this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Nicodemus, and he says to him, except a man be born again, in verse 3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." He answered in verse 5, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That little word, "must," reminds us that there is a condition, that there is a precept, there is one for regeneration. You must be born again, the must of regeneration. You can't get to heaven unless you're born again. It was said that George Whitefield continued to preach on this text of Scripture. In one particular mission, he preached night after night after night on the same text. And someone said to him, "Sir, why do you continually preach on ye must be born again?" And he answered, "Because ye must be born again." And the Lord Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and he says, "Nicodemus, with all your religiosity, with all your good works, with all your ceremony, with all your good deeds, with all your seeking, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You were born into this world and you were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And now you need to be born from above, born again." And dear friend, let me tell you tonight that it doesn't matter as far as this world is concerned and the theories and the notions of this world. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. No matter how many changes or mutations may take place, it'll never be born spirit. That is from heaven itself. That is from God Himself. When a man or woman is born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Lord Jesus says, "Nicodemus, there's a must here. It's the must of regeneration." But then there's another must. He says in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." There's what we might describe as a must of redemption. If Nicodemus is to be saved, if you and I are to be saved, there must be someone who will take their place. There must be someone who will pay the price and the penalty. There must be someone who will deal with the sin problem and the sin question of the human heart. Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." And so, dear friend, tonight we realize that if we are to be saved, if Nicodemus would be saved, Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, must die at the cross. He must shed his precious life's blood to make atonement for your sin and for mine. He says, "Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must I be lifted up." Nicodemus would have known all about that incident way back in the book of Numbers chapter 21. He would know all about the sin in the camp of the children of Israel. He would know all about the serpents who came, sent by God. He would know all about the pain and the paralysis and the tragedy and the sickness that would lead to death when a man or woman was bitten by one of those fiery serpents. He would have known the story how God told Moses to make a serpent of brass and put the serpent of brass upon a pole and put it up there in the midst of the camp. And whosoever would look to the serpent of brass upon the pole would be immediately saved, immediately healed from that sickness. The old paraphrase says, as when the Hebrew prophet raised the brazen serpent high, the wounded looked and straight were cured. The wounded ceased to die. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must I be lifted up. Oh, there's a message here that reminds us about how God dealt with His people way back there in the Old Testament scriptures. But Jesus says that was a picture, that was a symbol, that was a type. I am coming and I will be lifted up. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I'm going to die, Nicodemus, on a cross. I'm going to give my life in order that you might be saved. But you must come. You must be born again. It is unequivocal. There is no other way. It's a lovely old gospel hymn. It used to be popular around gospel meetings some years ago. It says, before the stars were hung, or the planets fashioned, before the clay was formed to make a man, Christ was the Lamb of God for sinners offered. This was redemption's one and only plan. There was no other way a God of love could find to reconcile the world, to save a lost mankind. It took the death of His own Son upon the tree. There was no other way but Calvary. And there's no other way but Calvary. And it doesn't matter who you are. It's universal. It doesn't mean because someone belongs to some sect or denomination, or someone has so much money in the bank, or someone has done so many good deeds, or someone has tried their best, or someone is more religious than his neighbor. No. We must be born again. And it's unique because it's for you, for me personally. We must come. John says there in John chapter 1 and in verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Listen, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not of the races, or not of, as it were, human genealogy that we are born again. It's not of the blood. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of our desires, not by descent or by our desire. Or it's not by the ceremony or the will of man, but of God. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Jesus says, I must be lifted up on that cross of Calvary. I must shed my precious blood. The Savior must be lifted up. You know, there's a man called Burnham, and he wrote a book about texts that made history. And in that book, he took the text that was a favorite text of Sir Isaac Newton, and the favorite text of John Newton, and the favorite text of David Livingstone, the favorite text of Martin Luther, the favorite text of William Cowper, the favorite text of William Carey. But when he came to John chapter 3:16, he called it everybody's text. For it's for you, and it's for me. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent, I'm going to be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, there's a miraculous thing called the new birth. You must be born again. And Nicodemus couldn't understand. But Jesus says, as the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound, but you can't tell whence it come, or whither it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It speaks about the sovereignty of the Spirit of God. We often sing that lovely old gospel hymn, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. And that's the means, that's how we are born again. For the Bible says here we have to be born of water and of the Spirit. It speaks about the washing of the water of the Word of God, and then by the Holy Spirit of God. The Apostle Peter says, we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. As Moses lifted up the serpent, I'll be lifted up on the cross, that if you believe, you'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. So there are two great personalities, and there are two great precepts. Nicodemus, as a sinner, must be born again. You, as a sinner, must be born again. Jesus, as the Savior, he must die on the cross to perfect our salvation, to bring us eternal life. But there are two prospects mentioned in this passage. You see, it says there in verse 15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And then in verse 16, which is perhaps the best known verse in all the Bible, and the verse that reminds us of the love of God for sinful men, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, listen, should not perish. In that verse that describes the love of God, here's a very solemn thing that is spoken of. It speaks about those who would perish. Perish. Perish is to die without God, without Christ. To go out into God's eternity. Into a Christless hell without God, without hope. Separated from God for all of God's eternity, lost and undone. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again or you would perish. Nicodemus, in many ways, represents the best kind of person that religion and education and culture and custom could produce. And yet he was lost. Thank God Jesus Christ would die on the cross that Nicodemus might be saved. In verse 17, Jesus says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's two prospects. Either to perish, go to a lost eternity, or to be saved and go to heaven to be with Christ. And that's the only two prospects that face men and women tonight, just as they faced Nicodemus so long ago. The Bible, of course, reminds us that after this interview with the Lord Jesus Christ, that in John chapter 7 and verse 50 to 52, Nicodemus confess Christ, even before the enemies of Christ. Reminds us in John 19 and 39 that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and begged the body of the Lord Jesus Christ from Pilate and took it lovingly and laid it in the tomb. That dear soul, with all his religion and sincerity, who came to Jesus in darkness. Thank God he came to light, to real light, spiritual light, eternal light. Changed from being born in sin and shaping iniquity to being born again, to becoming a child of God. As we bring our meeting to a close, what prospect faces you? When you say, Fred, I thank God that there was a time in my life, you may not know the exact day, but you know there was a time when you came as a sinner to Jesus. and you trusted him for salvation. You confessed your sin. You repented. You turned from your sin. You received him. And as many as received him, he says to them, give me power to become the sons of God. Or those who say, well, I've never had that experience. I go to church, pay in, I do my best, never did anybody any harm. Try to be helpful, try to be kind, try to do that which is right, try to bring up the family the way it ought. But I've never come to Christ. Then, dear friend, I plead with you in the Saviour's name, don't leave the meeting tonight still having that question unsettled in your heart and life. For your servant, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, we'd love to show you more from God's Word, just God's way of salvation, how you can be saved and how you can know that you're saved and know that it is well with your soul. Story was told about a city missionary, and he met a dear man one night in the middle of the city, a derelict, a down and out, and he said to the dear man, if you go to a certain place, he says, and here's the password, when you knock on the door, you tell him John chapter 3 and verse 16. And he read the verse with the old man. And it was down to a place where God's people were trying to help the suffering and the afflicted. And the city missionary said to the old man, he says, if you go there and you use the password, he says, it'll do you good. And you get a warm bed for the night, and you get a supper. And you know, when he went and he gave the password and he was brought in and he was treated kindly and he was given supper and given a warm bed, and in the morning there was a little time of devotions, and you know, that dear soul put his faith and trust in Christ, and he said to the city missionary, he looked him up, he said, you told me it would do me good. And he says it has. It has done me good in time. And it will do me good in God's eternity. Friend, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. May God help you to come to him. Let's just have a wee word of prayer before we sing a couple of verses of a hymn, please. Just as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, can I just say again, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. I'd like to speak to us as folk are going in, even for a cup of tea and a time of fellowship. Speak to us even at the door. I go to the door in case there are those who are leaving. I'm only too happy to take you into the minister's room or into the prayer room down there. Somewhere nice and private, we can point you to the one who is the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, for the simplicity of the gospel message. And we thank thee, Lord, for the one who came into the world. We realize there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin, but Jesus only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Lord, bless your word. Bring some poor, precious soul to saving faith in Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to sing the hymn number 279. 279. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. We're just going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. And we'll stand together while we sing, please. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy presence with us, for thy precious word, and we pray tonight that men and women may act upon the word of God, that may cry, while on others thou art calling, O God, do not pass me by. Lord, we pray now that you will bless our fellowship together. We thank thee for the good things provided for us. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to eat and drink to thy glory, and bless the kind hands that have prepared them. And then later on, O God, take us all to our homes in safety and abide with us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with us all now until the Lord Jesus Christ comes or calls. Amen.